सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। John chapter 4, verses 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 4 to 8.
अर्जुन उवाच अपरं भवतो जन्म परं जन्म विवस्वतः कथमेतद्विजानीयाम् त्वमादौ प्रोक्तवानिति। अर्जुन उवाच अपरं भवतो जन्म परं जन्म विवस्वतः कथमेतद्विजानीयाम् त्वमादौ प्रोक्तवानिति। श्रीभगवानुवाच बहूनि मे व्यतीतानि जन्मानि तव चार्जुन तान्यहं वेद सर्वाणि न त्वं वेतः परन्तप। श्रीभगवानुवाच बहूनि मे व्यतीतानि जन्मानि तव चार्जुन तान्यहं वेद सर्वाणि न त्वं वेतः परन्तप। अजोऽपि सन्न व्ययात्मा भूतानामीश्वरोऽपि सन् प्रकृतिं स्वामदिष्टाय संभवाम्यात्ममायया। अजोऽपि सन्न व्ययात्मा भूतानामीश्वरोऽपि सन् प्रकृतिं स्वामदिष्टाय संभवाम्यात्ममायया। यदा हि धर्मस्य ग्लानिर्भवति भारत अभ्युत्थानमधर्मस्य तदात्मानं सृजाम्यहम्। यदा हि धर्मस्य ग्लानिर्भवति भारत अभ्युत्थानमधर्मस्य तदात्मानं सृजाम्यहम्। परित्राणाय साधूनां विनाशाय च दुष्कृताम् धर्मसंस्थापनार्थाय संभवामि युगे युगे। परित्राणाय साधूनां विनाशाय च दुष्कृताम् धर्मसंस्थापनार्थाय संभवामि युगे युगे।
Having given Samkhya Yoga in the second chapter and Karma Yoga in the third chapter, the Lord said in the beginning of this chapter to Arjuna that I gave this knowledge earlier to Vivaswan, and Vivaswan gave it to Manu, and Manu gave it to Ikshvaku. Vivaswan means sun god, and sun god was given this knowledge by me in the beginning. Without sun, there could be no life possible here. So sun god here means the very first being. From the very beginning, this knowledge has been conveyed by me. That is what it means. Also, he is trying to say that this is not something that is my invention. It has been there forever. I have conveyed this to Vivaswan, and Vivaswan imbibed the knowledge, reflected on it. He attained the truth, and then he conveyed it to Manu, and Manu conveyed it to Ikshvaku, etc. This parampara has been flowing. But since there is a long lapse of time, this knowledge has been lost in words. People got stuck to the words of the master rather than reflecting deep into the words and realizing the truth. This knowledge has become lost. Meaning people know the words, but they don't know the essence. When you make this knowledge freely available, tattvamasi, that truth you are, if everybody goes on saying about it, over a period of time you think you know this. But you actually have to go deep into the words and realize the truth that you are the reality. But that has been lost here due to the long lapse of time. The same knowledge has been imparted to you by me today, he says, the third verse. Now Arjuna obviously gets a doubt that how come it is possible that you could have given the knowledge in the beginning and now also you could be giving it to me. You were just born recently, I know your date of birth, right? If you were somebody who was born recently, how you could have given it to Vivaswan? So when he is questioning this, he is not questioning or rather doubting Lord, but he is understanding that the Lord is trying to say something much deeper which he is not able to understand. So he is questioning him, please explain to me what you mean by this when you say that you gave it to Vivaswan and you are also giving it to me just now. How is it possible? Obviously here we have mentioned it before that whenever a person like Krishna is speaking, whether it is Lord Krishna or Jesus Christ or Prophet Muhammad or any person who has realized the self, when they speak, it is like ocean speaking and not wave speaking. We are all the waves. And those who have gone deep into their personality and realized the truth, they have understood the reality from the absolute sense. They have become one with the reality. So there it is the ocean speaking, Brahman speaking, and not the wave speaking or the individual speaking. So when Lord Krishna said, I gave this knowledge to Vivaswan, it is not Mr. Krishna who gave the knowledge. Whosoever had attained the truth at that point in time had revealed the knowledge. You understand? The moment you go deep, you are identifying with something that is beyond the body, mind and intellect. Remember, there are three levels of reality. What we call as outer reality, and what we call as inner reality, and what we call as supreme reality. The outer reality is this physical body and the physical world. Right? This is the outer reality. You have this body, you have the objects and beings in the outside world. This is real from one level. There is another reality which is beyond this physical sphere, which is your inner reality, which is made up of thoughts. Right? That is another level of reality. Beyond this also, there is one level which is you are aware of thoughts coming and going. The awareness level. You understand? So when anybody goes to the level of awareness, he is identifying with the infinite truth that has been existence always. The awareness is there without any conditioning of the objects, and it is getting conditioned by the thoughts in the second level, and it is further getting conditioned by the objects and beings in the third level. But at all three levels, awareness is there. So we call it a supreme reality because something that exists in all at all levels. That is the supreme reality. Right? This reality, this body, you are not aware of when you are in the dream. There only thoughts are there. Right? Similarly, even thoughts are not there when you go to the deep sleep. And then you go to the realization, thoughts are not there. So awareness pervades all levels, whereas the other realities pervade only in that particular realm. So compared to the outer reality, thoughts are more pervading, because thoughts are there in the outer reality as well, the inner reality as well. But thoughts don't exist when you go to the level of the awareness alone, which is objectless awareness. Therefore we call that reality a supreme reality. And supreme reality is only one, not two different or three different, many pluralistic supreme realities. So anybody who identifies with that supreme reality speaks as I in that context. So when he said, I gave this knowledge to Vivaswan, the supreme reality that revealed the knowledge through some other body to Vivaswan. And when Vivaswan gave it to Manu, ideally what he means is, Vivaswan, the individual, reflecting the words that have been received from the master, went deep inside and realized his supreme reality and gave. Otherwise, what you give is what your understanding of supreme reality or not supreme reality.
So, is supreme reality the ultimate truth?
Yes. That is why we call it supreme. So, in other words, if you take the words from the master and you go and repeat it to somebody else, it is of no use, because you are just repeating the words. A tape recorder will do a better job. Right? So he is saying the parampara continued, meaning when you receive the knowledge, you must make that knowledge your own. At the moment when you receive it, it is your borrowed knowledge. You borrowed it from somebody else. That person has realized the self, and he is speaking from the depth. Whereas you have only borrowed it from that person, you have no experience to substantiate it. Right? So you need to put in the effort and then reveal the truth through your own personal experience of the truth. Thus you need to pass it on. But long lapse of time has been lost, in a sense. People were mechanically repeating the words and rituals, and thus it has been lost. If you do not know, it is okay. But the problem is, since you know the words, you start thinking that you know and you stop putting the efforts also. There are three different stages of removing the ignorance as per the shastras. What are they? First, when you do not know, you through shravana, you know. Then through manana, you understand. Then, even then, I lack personal experience, ignorance is there. That needs to be removed through nididhyasana, through meditation. So in other words, unless and until you make it your own and pass it on, it still remains a borrowed knowledge. And people on the contrary start thinking that they know. I've been attending Bhagavad Gita class. I started from verse 1, ended with the last verse of chapter 18. So now I know Bhagavad Gita. You actually don't know anything. You only know the words. So when Arjuna asked this question, how is it possible that you could have given it to Vivaswan? Krishna says in 4th verse, since we are not sure, we will do the verse number 4 one second. What is it there? Arjuna uvacha, Arjuna uvacha, aparam bhavato janma, aparam bhavato janma, param janma vivasvataha, param janma vivasvataha, katametad vijaniyam, katametad vijaniyam, tvamadau proktavaditi, tvamadau proktavaditi, Arjuna uvacha, aparam bhavato janma, param janma vivasvatah katametat vijaniyam tvamadau proktavaditi. This is the verse he asked. Later was your birth. Earlier, the birth of Vivaswan. How then am I to understand that you taught this in the beginning? Now Krishna answers in verse number 5. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Bahu Nime Vyatitani, Bahu Nime Vyatitani, Janmanita Vachajuna, Janmanita Vachajuna, Tanyaham Veda Sarvani, Tanyaham Veda Sarvani, Natvam Veda Paranta. The Blessed Lord said, many births of mine and yours have passed. O Arjuna, I know them all while you know not. O Parantapa, O scorcher of foes, you do not know all the Janmas while I know all the Janmas. Many Janmas have passed. What was Arjuna's question in verse number 4? How is it that you could have given? So here Krishna is saying, many Janmas of yours and mine have gone by. You do not know them, I know them all. What is he trying to say here when he said, I know them all? How do you understand that?
That he's always been, he's omnipresent, he's always existing. The I has always, is always existing.
Just now we said, in at any state, the awareness is backing. Awareness knows all the states, all your experiences are backed by awareness. So when you are meaning awareness with the term I, then that awareness knows all the births. Look at it another way. Ocean knows all the births of various waves. But that which is identifying itself with wave only knows only its birth and the waves that were born during its time. Are you with me? So when he says many births of yours have gone by and you do not know, you are a conditioned consciousness. Conditioned consciousness knows only the objects and beings pertaining to that level. For example, pure consciousness is there in the dream state also. Pure consciousness is there in the waking state also. But pure consciousness conditioned by the waker's body is the waking individual. He knows only those beings pertaining to that state. Are you with me? His identification is limited with that particular state. So therefore he says, Arjuna, you know only that. You do not know many other Janmas that you had. Understand it this way. Somebody has come to visit you. Your house is there in a 25 story building next to the New Delhi railway station. And they stay with you for a few days and then they are going back to some other city, catching a train. So you said, I will come with you to the platform to see you off, while your wife stayed back at home. But she could see the station, trains coming in and going, everything from the 25th floor very clearly. So she is looking at it, looking at the station from the window of the 25th floor. You, along with your guest, standing on the platform, you know the train only when it enters the platform. You know the train only when it leaves the platform. But your wife, who is seated on top of the 25th floor, spots the train much before it has entered the platform, even after a long time after it has left the platform. So in other words, when you go in within yourself to a deeper dimension, you get a broader vision. Staying at that level, you know only the limited, you have only limited perception. But when you go deep into your personality, you are going into different dimension and you get access to the different layers. So when, another thing we need to understand here is, when you say future at a different dimension, you need to understand it has already happened. Before this watch was manufactured, It was first conceived. Do you agree?
Yes.
The conception of the watch happened in the thought. For example, I am speaking something to you. What I am speaking, these words have been coming from my mind only now. Before it came in the word form, the sound reached your ears, it was already existing in my mind. Are you with me? So the word and sound has not yet come to you. It is future to you. But you don't know that those thoughts are already there in my mind. So what you take as future, when you go at a deeper level, let's say at a thought level you are able to go, you are actually seeing it. So that is why they say some diseases, for example, by the time it manifests, many months have gone by, but it has already taken shape in your karmic cycle many months before. Are you with me? In other words, before anything comes into existence at the gross level, it has already happened at the subtle level. This is why in the 11th chapter also Krishna says, they are already killed. You are only killing those who have been already killed. Are you with me? So at a deeper dimension, things have already happened, what you call as future. So this past, present and future, what we call as present or future, for a Mahatma who has gone deeper, he is seeing right there, because he is seeing at the subtle level. Are you with me? For the betterment of ours, if he is seeing any negativity, he may not tell us. Are you with me? But it is possible. So what Krishna is saying here is, many births of mine and yours have gone by. Since you are just existing like a wave only, your perception and vision is limited to that. Whereas I am not restricted at that level, I have gone deeper, I know it. In other words, Arjuna can also know, provided he is also ready to go deeper. Are you with me? That is why we say, you take the inspiration from the class, but you need to perspire to go deep inside you. Otherwise it is of no use. We said the same thing in a different way in the previous class also. That is, 25% of the knowledge you gain from your listening. The next 25% you gain from your reflection. Then the next 25% you gain from your discussions. Then the last 25% you gain from your teaching. Okay. So if you don't put in those efforts, just coming and listening, 25% you do. 75% you are supposed to do. But before the time we meet next week, you should have done that exercise. But next week you are fighting with your spouse or somebody else, your children or your husband. Where is my book? I kept it here only. Because you went back from the class, kept it in the cupboard. Next week before coming to the class, you are searching for the book. Then the baki 75% you are not putting in the effort. Unless and until you go deeper, this knowledge remains what? Borrowed. Borrowed knowledge can never give you strength. What is real strength? And what is borrowed strength? You need to understand that.
You make it your own.
When it is your own within you, it is real strength. When it is borrowed, you know it can be taken away any minute. And you are all the time worried, even when it is existing, when it will be taken away. For example, memory is volatile. Wisdom is non-volatile. If you have memorized the text, there is fear that you may forget it. But if you got wisdom about the subject. There is no fear. Any day, anytime they ask you, you are able to put forth the answer. So, you have to make it your own. So he says, many births of mine and yours have gone by. Arjuna, I know them all, while you know not, O Parantapa. So really speaking, what you need to do is, you need to go within you, then you will see it yourself. It's like somebody traveling on the surface of the ocean. He's very much there in the ocean, traveling on the surface of the ocean, but there is a vast world which he has no access to under the ocean. He might have studied about it, he might have heard about it, everything fine. Unless and until he readies himself to plunge inside, he will not have any experience of it. So, therefore, Lord Krishna here says, I am the pure consciousness. The pure consciousness is that which illumines all states and all beings in the past, present and future. Whether in the past or in the present or in the future, whichever being came into existence, it was only enlivened by the pure consciousness. Since the pure consciousness enlivened all beings pertaining to the past, present and future, it knows the past, present and the future. But you being which has been reflected by the pure consciousness, you know only that particular state, and you solidly claim as only that as real, because you have no access to beyond and before. So this is what he is trying to say. So when a person like Krishna is speaking, he is speaking from a different dimension. When we speak on the Gita, we are speaking from our understanding and not from our own deep experiences. The understanding actually at least is better. Other thing is you simply repeat. Right? So you need to go deeper. So I know them all while you know not. Because very often people take it as Lord Krishna is incarnation of Mahavishnu. He knows everything. But we are ordinary mortals. We can never know. The idea is not that you want to know the past and future and all that. If you go deeper and deeper, you are going to different dimensions. You will have access to all of these things. For example, there are many things in your memory right now. You have no access to it right now. But if you want to access it, can you access it or not?
Yes.
Some phone numbers, which you used to call very often those days, when you were living in that country, let us say, whichever country. Now you have come back, after many years you are trying to contact the same friend of yours. And you have not carried your diary with you. You say, how come it is? I used to call that number just like that. Even in my dream I used to remember the number. How come now I am not remembering? If you really go deep, you will be able to recollect the number. It comes back. So in other words, it is all there. When you go deep inside, you can bring it out. But the idea here is not that Krishna is asking you to go deep to bring it out. He is just simply saying, if you go deep, you will be able to see all these things. What looks to us as something great, when you go deeper, it is just a matter of fact for it. Next word. Since Lord Krishna spoke about pure consciousness, knowing the past, present and future and births and everything, now in the next verse he is going to talk about how the pure consciousness has become the limited consciousness as it were. That's what he is talking about. अजो पिसन्नव्ययात्मा अजो पिसन्नव्ययात्मा भूतानामीश्वरोपिसन् प्रकृतिं स्वामदिष्टाय संभवाम्यात्ममायया अजोऽपि सन्नव्ययात्मा भूतानामीश्वरोऽपि सन् प्रकृतिं स्वामदिष्टाय संभवाम्यात्ममायया. Aja means unborn. Aja, ajopi sannavya yatma, bhutanam ishwaropisa, prakritim swamadishtaya, sambhavam ni atma mayaya. Though unborn. Aja means unborn. Though of unborn nature and of imperishable nature, avya yatma. Though I am unborn, who's speaking here? Ocean. Remember that example always. Is ocean born when the waves are born? Does ocean die when the waves die? So what he is saying is, though unborn and of imperishable nature, though I am beyond birth and death, and Lord of all beings, ocean is the Lord of all waves. The substratum of all waves is ocean. Right? Therefore, I am the Lord of all waves. And being the Lord of all waves, I, presiding over my own prakriti, my own nature, am born by my own maya. We'll go through somersaults to understand this verse. What he is saying is, actually, Brahman is never born. Since it is not born, it is not dying also. Brahman is beyond birth and death. Try to understand this with the help of the example first. So in the example of waves and ocean, ocean is never born, never dies, it is always there. But now, for us, we are seeing the waves. So how has the wave come about? The question comes. So he is saying, the wave has come about because of ocean identifying with its own nature. It has come about, he says. That's all he says. Are there waves in a bucket of water? In the vast sheet of water, there is wave. It is its own nature. You understand? So what he is saying here is, I am Brahman or spirit, and matter is also my own. Matter is also my own. Matter has come from me only. Spirit pervades the entire matter. Understand it like this. All parts are pervaded by clay. Right? In one shape, it has got one name. Another shape, it has got another name. But the essential ingredient with which it is made up of is clay. Similarly, ornaments. Similarly, everything. So the essence of every wave is water, ocean. Right? But one appears to be big, one appears to be small. So he says, this has come about due to the ignorance, which is my own nature.
I'll explain.
Please wait. Afterwards you can ask all the questions, but first listen. What he is saying is, there is an object. The non-understanding of that object, is a potential in the object or not? And when that object is not understood, it is misunderstood as something else. So when he says, it is my own prakriti, my own nature, what he is saying is, the world has come about because of your not understanding and misunderstanding. By gaining this knowledge, the misunderstanding and not understanding is removed, then what you see is only the substrate. So the ignorance of the Atma, the ignorance of Brahman, which is inherent in Brahman, through which the pure consciousness has manifested itself as matter, various individuals. So when you go deep into each and every individual, what you see there is only spirit and not matter. So in other words, waves are only apparent reality, but if you go deep into the waves, what you actually see is Brahman. So according to Vedanta, what is there is only Brahman. That Brahman has come about in various names and forms, and it gives the example of diamond and charcoal. Both diamond and charcoal are made up of carbon. But in different permutation combination, it is diamond. Another different permutation combination, it is charcoal. Charcoal is also carbon. Diamond is also carbon. Diamond is hard. Charcoal is soft. Diamond is sparkling. Charcoal is dark. Diamond is expensive. Charcoal is cheap. With all these differences, they are essentially carbon. So in carbon, one form it is diamond. In another form it is charcoal. So similarly he says, I identify with my own prakriti have manifested as these waves. This prakriti matter is part of my being. When I don't understand myself as infinite, I have ignorance of my true nature. And I am believing myself to be limited. Due to this sense of limitation, there is an imaginary void created. To fulfill the void, my thoughts run towards the world. Right? So how has the thoughts come about? Thoughts have come about due to the ignorance of the reality. And when pure consciousness reflects itself as it were through the thought which has come due to the ignorance of the pure consciousness, the misapprehension, waves, you, me and all of us have taken birth. The difference is, Krishna or people who have realized the self knows this, others don't know this, yet they are also ocean, you are also ocean. That's all the difference is. The difference between Arjuna and Krishna is what? Krishna knows that he is essentially divine, essentially the ocean and not the wave. But I am still existing in my ignorance, therefore I am considering myself to be the wave. This is what we say, your inner potential is infinite. Doesn't matter at what level your potential has expressed itself as of now. So, for example, in a school, somebody gives a test and scores X amount of mark. That is not his potential. His potential is much more. The expressed limited potential as of now is this. So the job of the guru, the teacher, is what? Make the child understand that it has got infinite potential. It is not a test of what my actual potential is. It is only a test to know how much potential I have tapped as of now. This is the mistake we made. So we get scared. I will be exposed. I am not exposed. It is how much potential as of now I have access to is what is exposed. Essentially, I am infinite potential. You understand? So therefore he says, when the pure consciousness identifies with the thoughts, the individual is created. We explained this with the diagram where in a trough there is water. Sunlight, which is all pervading, falls on the water, gets reflected, right? Similarly, wherever the thoughts are and the pure consciousness has striked it, the individual sun is one. But sun per se doesn't have any individual existence. Are you with me? Wherever there is a reflecting medium, the sun has fallen on the reflecting medium, a reflected sun is born. When you see the reflected sun, if you are ignorant, you will imagine it to be a separate identity. But if you have the knowledge, then you know it is actually the sun which is infinite and not finite. So he says, Ajopi Sannavya Yatma Bhutanam Ishwaropisan Prakritim Swamadishtaya Sambhavami Atma Mayaya. This Atma, as it were bound by Maya, has come into existence. As it were, right? Many days you don't see it as it is. A thief, when he enters the jewelry shop, what does he see there? What does he see? Does not see jewelry, just sees gold. Okay, he just sees gold. When you enter, what do you see? Ornaments. Right? You see the ornaments. He sees the gold. So he really doesn't care what he picks up. As quickly as possible, whatever he can pick up, he will pick up. So, from the upper level, from the surface level, you are seeing these waves. How has it come about? It has come about due to your ignorance. Actually, it doesn't exist. It has come about due to your ignorance. So the ignorance, where is it existing? Within yourself. So by identifying with ignorance, you have created an individuality. If you remove the ignorance through the knowledge, then what remains is only total. So therefore, somebody defined ego as edging God out. E-G-O as edging God out. So when the total perception has been edged out, the individual perception comes about. It's a question of from where you are looking at it. Right? So this is as simple as possible. I'm trying to explain this most complicated verse. This portion 6, 7, 8, many people go through somersaults. Right? So I'm trying to, because you're all pretty much new to the subject, I'm trying to bring it as light as possible, rather than using complicated words, Sanskrit, etc. Basically, he's just saying pure consciousness speaking here. Remember this. When Krishna is speaking, it is not Mr. Krishna speaking. It is PC speaking. Not PC the Brahm. Pure consciousness speaking. Okay. Pure consciousness is speaking. What is it saying? It is saying, I am actually unborn. I am actually unborn. I am actually beyond death. Then I am seeing something. What is that? He says, you are seeing it because of limitations brought about by your own senses, by your own ignorance. When you go beyond that, then you will see only pure consciousness, nothing else. The difficulty comes in we trying to remain as waves and understand how the ocean has become the wave. Do you understand the difficulty? Wave has to dissolve itself and become the ocean. Then it understands that the wave never
existed.
Are you with me? This is the difficulty in understanding this theory of creation. So he's trying to explain that pure consciousness identifying with the Maya Shakti has come about as the individuals. The Maya is the gunas. Overpowered by the gunas, the individual variety has come about. So if you remove that ignorance, you only see gold. You only see clay. You don't see various pots. You don't see various ornaments. So pure consciousness reflected through the reflected medium has come about as a reflected sun. Nothing else. So basically what he's saying is birth and death is a Maya. Meaning it is real at a surface level. If you go deeper, it is not real. Somebody had asked something, what is it? Who was it? You. Somebody wanted to ask something and I said, be patient, you can ask me later. You would ask.
No, I was just saying that it is the same thing. You were asking, I was saying, it's created in the image. The wave is created in the ocean's image.
It's like a rainbow. How does a rainbow come about? You're seeing it, no? You're seeing rainbow. How has the rainbow come about? Is the rainbow there? How did it come about? You're seeing it. How did it come about?
Sun reflected in the
water molecule. How did the water molecule come about in the very first place? Due to the sun's heat, the water evaporated, and the evaporated water penetrated by the sun, the apparent rainbow has come. Right? A child which is seeing the rainbow, it doesn't understand that this is how the rainbow effect has come. It thinks the rainbow is real. I saw it. It is real. Yet it is not truth. I am seeing the rainbow. I am experiencing it. While I am experiencing it also, it is not real. So you are able to understand that there are things like this you are experiencing, yet it is not real. So take those examples and try to understand this. So you experienced a ghost where there was only a
ghost.
So the post is saying how the ghost came about. The post saying my existence has inherent potential of not understanding myself. And since you identified with that potential of mine, not understanding of me, the misunderstanding came about. And the misunderstanding is what? The ghost. This is what he is saying. Who is speaking? Post is speaking. So post is speaking, I identifying with my own prakriti have come about as ghost. Ghost comes and goes. It has birth and death. But post is always there. So in the example here, post is unborn. Post is
there.
Imperishable. Ghost is born. Ghost is perishable. And the ghost perishes and again comes back as long as you continue to identify with the ignorance. So many more ghosts you will be producing. The moment you root out the ignorance and stop identifying with the ignorance, then you will see only the post. And when you see the post, thereafter no more ghosts will come out. This is what he is saying in this verse. How the total, as it were, came about as individuals, various individuals. From the surface, you see various waves. Those fellows who have only knowledge of the surface, they only have knowledge of the waves. But those who have penetrated that, they have the knowledge of the ocean, then they instantly understand that everything is actually ocean. Instantly you become beyond birth and death. Thereafter no more death scaring you. Like Ramtirtha wrote down before he jumped into the river to swim in Ganges. Oh death, if you wish to take this body, please take. I can function through many other bodies. But we will not be able to write like that. We are all identified with the body. So unless and until that ignorance has been rooted out, we will continue to take the reflections as real. And when we are at that level, since reflection is real to you, within that level there are laws. You identify with those laws and function. That time you don't say it is unreal only. Being in that level you can't say it is unreal. Only when you go beyond that level it is unreal. Not when you are there in that very level.
Sometimes we are living in that reality where there is birth and death, and we are sitting in that suffering and death. And
there is a knowledge that is given. 25% of Shravana has happened. You have to go back, reflect over it, discuss about it, go deeper into it and experience the truth. Only then this fear of the truth.
It's always a bad question. So, I'm just in my mind also. It is different forms of body, but when you actually come to reality of it and try and explain this, how would you explain
to whom?
Say to the mother of the baby.
You can't explain at the moment. You can only explain to a person to the extent the person is receptive. Mm-hmm. At the moment when the person has lost the child, I don't think so many will have that receptivity. I am not saying that mother doesn't have, I don't know her, but usually it is not that easy for that mother to come to terms with it. So he or she is not receptive. At that time you can't give all these explanations. You can, but it is not going to make much of a difference.
But like this happened also in my mind. I just trying to understand from the teaching. Is this how we justify? Is this how we justify birth and death?
Yes. Just think. See, first of all, understand it this way. When at that level I lose somebody, even with this knowledge, the sorrow is there. But the grief is not there. This is what he says, Asochan Anvasochastvam Pranyavadamsha Bhashase Gatasun Agatasun Na Anushochanti Panditaha. He said that in the 11th verse of chapter 2 when he started the Gita. Very first verse. He said, wise people do not grieve for those who have come and those who have gone. Why they don't grieve? The next verse he says, Natve vaham jatunasam natvam neme janadipah. Never indeed was I not, nor you, none of the rulers will ever cease to be. Right? Means the I was there before also, the I will be there later also. I never dies. Therefore the wise people do not grieve. But the I that manifested in that particular form with which I was relating has gone now. That separation I would definitely feel. But does that separation affect me? Does that separation not affect me is the question. So in the case of a person who has this knowledge, he will still definitely feel the separation. You understand? But having felt the separation, in fact he feels it much deeper than even me. But the point is, he will not be affected by the separation. Whereas we will be affected by the separation. Relatively easier explanation, which probably many people can digest, is this. You are born in this room now because you have desire to study the Gita. Are you with me? You will be born in the next environment, whichever you will be going next, according to your other desire. Right? So what is taking you from one environment to another?
Desire.
You had a desire to attend the Gita class. You have other desires also. But this Gita class desire was predominant, so you came to the class. Now you have to go and pick up your child from the school. That desire is coming, right? Then that is slowly overtaking you. Then when that desire becomes predominant, what do? You say Hari Om, and then you leave to the next environment. So basically, you are explaining the mother, when the mother is relatively receptive, that what has happened is the cumulative effect of all the desires of the child grants different environment, and this environment is no more conducive for the desires to express. Since because of that, the child has been given a different environment, it has moved into the different environment, which is good for the child. So then you look at it as, okay, it is a separation from my point of view. But from the child's point of view, it has moved into a better environment, which was needed for the child. So you are able to take that separation also. This is the explanation Vedanta gives. So, this is with reference to the individual moving from one body to another. But when you go deeper and understand that individuality itself is a mithya, and deep inside you see individual as reality. Reality is never born, reality never dies. Like for example, when the sun has born in the reflected medium, has the sun born? Medium is there, it got reflected. Medium chale gaya, reflection chale gaya. So even when it is supposedly born, sun is never born. This is from the ultimate. This is what Krishna says. Nobody is capable of being killed. Nobody is capable of killing or being killed. those who think they are capable of being killed, those who are thinking that they can kill, both are fools, he says. In the second chapter, we studied all that in the second chapter. So basically, like I said, unless and until the person is receptive, it becomes difficult to talk about these things. But yes, to some extent, when the person is receptive and you speak all these things, then the person does really understand. Now what do I do? Now, next thing you tell the mother is, let's see, please understand, thoughts do work. The power of thoughts you explain to the mother, right? The cumulative thoughts can function as a tailwind for the child in the movement. So you sit down and pray for the better journey of the child. So what happens is, grief moves into prayer. And when grief moves into prayer, you move out of grief, you come out of grief, and you move into your life. Slowly. That is why if you see, the rituals are there even when the dead body is being cremated. All these are for you to move away from grief to prayer to beyond. Otherwise you can just throw it. Are you with me? So you also get away from grief and move ahead with your life. And you also send forth positive thoughts for the better journey of the jiva. This is the meaning of all these rituals and prayers. Otherwise it is just a mechanical ritual.
But also how we say that for the better journey, for that soul to connect to the higher soul. Does that make sense?
Yeah, the sense, better journey. So now the child will have to move in its own direction towards emancipation. So you can only send forth positive thoughts. Like we all collectively sit down and say, Om Shanti, 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 means when there is a deep inside demand created in the subconscious for a conducive environment to sit down and study. As the demand in the subconscious, at the conscious level, you get the supply. Right?
Yes.
So, we understand the collective work of the thought force and we pray. But the individual will have to use the conducive effort brought about by the prayer and put in the effort, only then the individual will move. Just because I pray for you, you don't move ahead in your life. My praying can make a conducive atmosphere, but you need to put in the effort, use that conducive atmosphere and move ahead. That also needs to be understood correctly. You understand? So therefore, when a person is in such misery, don't go about giving lectures there. It is little difficult. At that time they are not receptive fully. You understand? You may say, and it may appear as if they are listening also, but they are not. Slowly, when at that time you can only, you know, bring in prayers and other emotional appeals, then you can give in the knowledge when they are relatively calm, receptive basically. So the words in this verse are very important, which you need to understand is, initially he said Aja and Avyaya. Aja means not born. Something that is not born, can it die?
No.
So it doesn't die also, it is imperishable. So the total that is never born, total never dies. When you do not understand the total as total, the misunderstanding of individual has come about. So then, what is the purpose of the individual then? individual will not experience that ultimate happiness unless and until the individual understands that the individual is essentially total. In the meantime, the individual can go on adding up few more things to the individual's pocket and feel little satisfied, but still continue to be insecure. So therefore Vedanta says, really speaking, the purpose of life is for the individual to understand that the original nature of the individual is total. Till then, how much ever you accumulate, whether you accumulate wealth, whether you accumulate people, whether you accumulate knowledge, information, you would still continue to be suffocated as an individual. So the really speaking, what liberates you from this thraldom of suffocation is the knowledge that you are total and not individual. Therefore Vedanta says, your real goal in life is to realize your essential nature. So using all the wealth you have, using all the people you have, using all the information you have to go deep and gain that ultimate knowledge, which is I am
total.
The moment you understand that I am total, then you are free from the individuality. When the person is free from the thraldom of individuality, he has no motive to do any action. As long as we remain as individual, there is motive for the individual to attain. But when the individual has become total, fulfilled, it has no more motive. Then how does that individual act? He says, that individual which has become total, which appears to us as individual, but actually it is total, acts out of compassion. That is the meaning of the word avatara. Avatarati iti avatara. Avatara means that which has come down, not that which has fallen down. There is a difference. Okay? You are walking on the road. There is a pit. You have been talking on the cell phone, looking up the sky and talking and walking. Usually you do that. So you have fallen into the pit because you didn't see it. Another person who was coming behind you saw you falling into the pit. He saw the pit and you falling into it also he saw. He comes there, consciously gets down into the pit to bring you out. There is a difference. Are you with me? One person out of ignorance falling into the pit. The other person consciously going into the pit, not falling into the pit. So this is the meaning of avatar. So when a person has reached the truth, has got fulfilled, does it mean that he will stop acting? No, he will be acting out of compassion, not out of any personal motive anymore. Compassion is the fragrance of a person who is become total or who has realized that he is total. So how do you measure you are growing spiritual or not? Compassion, forgiveness, etc. That is the mark of spirituality. Spirituality doesn't mean you wear certain clothes, you suddenly become spiritual. Or you are attending Bhagavad Gita class or conducting Bhagavad Gita class. That doesn't make you spiritual per se. Right? If you have these qualities, so your action will continue. So you are born there. Somebody is born unconsciously propelled by the punya and papa. You are not born by your punya and papa anymore. You are existing there out of
compassion.
This is the avatara concept, which is highly misunderstood and misinterpreted, and all sorts of interpretations go around for this avatara concept. And see, if you are able to accept that it is Mahavishnu who has come in the form of Krishna, then you don't have any questions, no issues. But the problem is you suffer with, how is it God coming? Why would God come into existence? Instead of coming in here itself, can he not solve it if he created the world? All these kind of questions come when you start thinking about avatar. So basically what they are saying here is, when you know your essential nature, thereafter your action has not got even an ounce of selfish motive. Thereafter it is absolutely selfless. And that is avatar. So if you look at it from the examples of wave and ocean, diamond, carbon, gold, ornaments, clay, pot, etc., you will be able to understand this verse 6 little better. But like I said, it will be a difficulty because you are continuing to remain as a wave and trying to understand how the ocean became the wave. You are like Arjuna, the wave. Krishna is speaking as ocean. What the ocean is trying to communicate from the level of ocean, you are trying to understand as wave from the level of wave, becomes difficult. But only thing he is trying to communicate here is, actually wave is just an apparent existence, not a real existence. We'll look into this verse a little more next verse. This verse 7 and 8 next week. 7 and 8 is a very popular verse. All of you know that. Ida, 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 Masya and all that. Again, you know, that verse has also been misunderstood widely. Because what you've been probably with wrong intention or without wrong intention taught is that when atrocity takes place, God will be born to take care of it. And you are waiting for the God to come back. Movies also they show that. All the fellows are suffering. Then suddenly the hero jumps. And then he solves the problem. So in other words, you are waiting for some God to come and solve your problem. This is not what the idea of avatara that Lord Krishna is trying to speak here. It has been taken like that. Somebody will have to come and solve the issue. Which is that somebody? Who is that somebody going to be? Right? So let us understand these things clearly. Next week when we discuss, we will try to complete some of the data. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vishishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Thank you.